The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up and maybe get out for Julio Jones. The day we've been waiting for has arrived. Where is this Falcon about to fly? Plus, 100 days to kicking off the NFL season. Where will this superstar be when that day comes? We've got the latest. And the Sixers suffer not one, but two losses last night. Why one of them might just cost this team a title. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now, on a Tuesday, from the Seaport. Oh, my goodness, I'm not alone. Greeny and Graziano has made his way in studio, breaking stories all day long. Listen to the cheers. Starting to feel pretty normal around here. And then, over there, we got Teddy Bruschi. We got Mike Tannenbaum. They are ready to go. Marcus and Jay will be along as well, as this day we mark 100 days until the start of the NFL season, and there is a lot of off-season drama remaining to be played out, mostly involving that man, Aaron Rodgers, last year's MVP, one of eight quarterbacks with multiple MVPs. Where will he be 100 days from now? Deshaun Watson, meanwhile, has asked the Texans for a trade. But there's so much uncertainty around his situation, facing over 20 civil lawsuits alleging inappropriate sexual conduct. What will become of Deshaun Watson? And then Julio Jones, who said, "I'm out of there," on live TV with regards to Atlanta. He averages more receiving yards per game in NFL history than any other player. And so where does it all leave us 100 days until the beginning? I think we start there with the most urgent and immediate. Dan Graziano, Julio Jones.
Yeah.
How soon should we be expecting a move?
I think it could be pretty soon, right? We have to wait till after June 1st in order for them to get the salary cap relief they need. So after close of business today. So theoretically, it could be tonight, tomorrow. I think at some point this week, it's possible Julio Jones could be on the move. Now, it's been a tricky situation to report because you hear a lot of different teams and you hear a lot of different moving parts. They're asking for a first-round pick and for whoever takes him on to take on the whole $15.3 million salary. The odds of them getting both of those things, I think, are slim. So maybe they come down to a second-round pick. Maybe they pick up part of the salary, although I don't think they can do much. And in terms of teams, you hear a lot of teams. The two most consistent I've heard have been the Rams and Patriots, a little bit of Tennessee. And then you hear there are other teams like Seattle, San Francisco that I think kind of feel like they wish they could do it, but in the end they probably can't get there in terms of what it'll take. So we could have some answers on this pretty soon.
All right, so those are the questions. The answers are forthcoming. Mike Tannenbaum, you've always got answers for me here. If you're the general manager in Atlanta right now, tell me how this is playing out. What are you doing on the phones as you try to figure out how and when you're going to trade Julio Jones?
I'm taking a list of those teams that Dan just gave us, and I'm saying I need your best offer by the end of the day today, and don't complain tomorrow that you would have done more when I trade him to Team X, because this is going to happen, and it's going to happen fast, and that's the only way I really can create a sense of urgency, and here's why. It's been so public that you simply can't tell another team, if we don't get the offer we like, he's going to come back and be a Falcon. That's off the table. So the best way to create a sense of urgency is, I need your final and best offer today, and no complaints, because tomorrow you're going to read that Julio Jones is with another team. So whatever you have, give it to us today.
And to be clear, they don't even have enough salary cap space to sign their rookies right now. So they have to do this quickly. So, Teddy, you heard the Rams, you heard the Patriots and the other teams. What team out there is Julio Jones away from being a Super Bowl champion?
Yeah, well, Green, wherever Julio goes, your offense is instantly better. That was very interesting what Graz was talking about with the Rams, because, I mean, Stafford knows what it's like to throw to big receivers like that when he had Calvin Johnson. I don't know what the Rams can give up in terms of draft picks for Julio Jones for a team that I don't think has any draft picks, but they've been trading away first-round picks like they're going out of style. I don't think they have another one until 2024, but I tell you, him in that offense, it would be be a good fit, but man, Stafford and Julio Jones, I like that. The New England perspective is unique to me because, I mean, you have Cam Newton, and Cam Newton's basically your quarterback, and he's almost your best running back in terms of the threat that he poses. Do you really put it on Cam Newton to spread it out to Smith, to Henry, to Aguilar, to Jones? I don't know if he's that type of quarterback anymore. So is this a move to where you lean for the future with Mac Jones? I mean, do they see Mac Jones playing sooner than later? That's the thing that makes me think about if Julio's a possibility here. So two interesting perspectives from the Rams to the Patriots. But I believe there's a team that can come out of nowhere and just say, the best you got's a three. Well, I got a two for you. So anything can happen with Julio.
I'm interested in that, though. What you just said, I want to make sure I'm clear. If the Patriots make this move, that suggests to you, Teddy, and you know the way they think, that suggests to you they may be thinking of going to Mac Jones sooner than most people expect?
That's my perspective of it, because basically they're not going to tell you what you're thinking, but you can. If they make the move, you've got to think that a quarterback like Mac Jones would be more capable in an offense that has all of these multiple weapons to be able to spread it out. Cam Newton is a quarterback that is limited. You don't know how beat up he will be, and he is used in the running game also. So that's my thought perspective and sort of my process in thinking if they get Julio, what their thought process may be.
That makes sense. And then just to spin it back quickly to the other team that we mentioned prominently there, it would be a very Rams kind of move to make this trade. And if they can get it done, Teddy, if you just perspective that defense and Julio Jones on that offense with that quarterback, do the Rams, in your opinion, become the team to beat in the NFC?
No, not the NFC. Okay, I mean, they still have a lot to prove in terms of Stafford and his worth as a quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, this is a guy that's been reckless with the football. I mean, he hasn't had ultimate success in the league. Now you give him everything that he would ever possibly want, a defense and weapons on the offensive side. I'd have to see over the first month of the season how he is making it all develop and progress.
Okay, sit there a minute. As we'll have much more in this as we go. Again, 100 days till the kickoff of the NFL season. We'll have much more perspective. But we had a very big night in the NBA last night as the Sixers, as I mentioned, suffered not one, but two losses. It's the game of the night. And let's start right at the beginning with the one that probably means the most. This is in the first quarter. This is Joel Embiid going to the hole. This is Robin Lopez for the challenge. And down goes the big fella. And you can see he is aching. He would not return as you take another look at it there. Appeared to land on the back. They would rule him out with right knee soreness, an MRI coming today. He would finish having played 11 minutes. So that's clearly the storyline coming out of this. Meanwhile, as far as the game is concerned, 4 minutes left in the second. This is Russell Westbrook flipping it up, and Daniel Gafford throwing it down. He had 12 points, 4 of 4 from the floor. Then there's Westbrook. Look at him working inside. He doesn't want his season to come to an end. Shot just 3 of 19 from the floor, did Russell. But the Wizards would go to halftime down by one. Third quarter, another ridiculous incident. A spectator, I'm not going to use the word fan because that seems too flattering. This idiot runs out onto the court. They tackle him. They take him off, and he gets arrested. Then halfway through the fourth quarter, Wizards up by two. Keep an eye on Gafford again. No Embiid in the paint makes a big difference. He was 4 for 4 from the floor. Sixers hanging around. 3 minutes to go. Down by two. Seth Curry. Yes, he had 10. Tied at 108. Wizards up by 3, under a minute to go. Want to keep their season alive. This is Rui Hachimura. There will be no sweep. Wizards win it 122-114. Series now 3-1 in favor of the Sixers, headed back to Philadelphia. So, as I mentioned, two losses for them last night. One of them in the game, and the other, that man, Joel Embiid. It goes without saying, it makes a huge difference. Philly 39-12 when he played this year, 10-11 when he didn't. That 39-12 marked the best record by an individual player this season who played at least 1,000 minutes. And Jay Will is here, the Jay from KJZ on ESPN Radio and his spinning basketball. Okay, yes. So Joel Embiid banged up. How big a deal is this?
I'm not worried about Joel Embiid. It's not a big deal at all. Look, they're up 3-1. They're going to beat the Wizards. They're playing Atlanta potentially in the next round. Atlanta closes out the deal tomorrow night at MSG. They destroyed Atlanta throughout the regular season. They are by far the better defensive team. Philadelphia will have no issues. I'm not worried about them until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a cakewalk, basically.
Yes, cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals.
So the answer to the question, how big a deal is the Embiid injury,
zero.
Is
not a big deal at all. So let's talk about an injury that is a big deal to a different big man, Anthony Davis. That's a significant one. What does LeBron have to do tonight to get the Lakers a win if the big man can't play?
We need to see the reality version of Space Jam 3. Space Jam 3 hasn't even come out yet, right? We're waiting for Space Jam 2. But what did LeBron James do in Space Jam 2? He took Bugs Bunny. He took Marvin the Martian. He took all these characters and he elevated their level of play. Tonight is a massive game for the legacy of LeBron James. You know why? The constant debate we always have, Greeny, does LeBron beat Father Time? He's always eluded Father Time. He's dominated Father Time. Now is the question, at 36 years old, can he have a signature performance in the playoffs? I think he can, but he needs to elevate the level of the characters around him, and that's Space Jam 3. We're going to have to see that tonight.
Well, look, I mean, his co-star in this movie you're talking about is supposed to be Anthony Davis. If AD cannot play, or at least cannot be effective, do you believe LeBron has enough to beat the Suns 2 out of 3? Phoenix has home court advantage.
I do. I think now that AD's not out, I think it's more even of a matchup. Now, that's not being disrespectful to the talent that Phoenix has, but CP3 is also playing hurt here. All right, we haven't seen the best of LeBron James. LeBron is averaging 25 points per game. That is pedestrian for LeBron James. LeBron still has another gear. Now, he said it himself. His shoulders were built to carry that load. We're going to have to see that tonight.
How much pressure do you think he feels based upon the totality of this? It's the first round. He's accomplished everything. How much pressure do you think is on him, and how much is reasonable?
LeBron lives in pressure. His day-to-day world is pressure. Pressure makes diamonds for LeBron James. I actually think there's more pressure on Phoenix to close this out due to their youth and guys like Devin Booker and DeAndre. Now, I know they have CP3, and he's a guy that can weather the storm, but it's a lot of pressure on younger players who haven't really been in this situation before. LeBron James has been in these type of situations before.
Very interesting little moment in the NBA playoffs. He is Jay Williams again, KJZ, Coast to Coast, every morning on ESPN.
LeBron.
Oh, it was a bad
bad pass.
That was a bad pass. All right, where are we here? A former Bears quarterback, he hopes to throw some good passes. The former Bears quarterback says the team making a big mistake starting Justin Fields week one. Why our experts think that's wrong. And since it's June, does that mean Aaron Rodgers is close to being dealt by the Packers? You will hear why that may not happen anytime soon. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, did you see this yesterday? Twins in Baltimore facing the Orioles. Going to pick it up at the bottom of the fifth. That's Ryan Mountcastle driving one deep, and this is Rob Refsnyder going back and slamming into the wall without realizing that it is there. Look, everybody's laughing. Why are we laughing at that? He just ran into a wall, and that, of course, led our very own Dan Orlovsky to call attention to himself, saying, boundary markers, designations, walls, lines, they come out of nowhere at times, I've heard, which of course gives our staff the license to once again show Dan Orlovsky's he didn't realize it was there. Is this nice? I mean, why
don't
do we keep doing this?
Because it's awesome. I mean, of all the things that to be your claim to fame, like Orlovsky's here logging like 400 hours of TV a week, and this is still the thing he's most famous for. It's unbelievable.
He brought it on himself.
He did.
He called attention to it himself.
That's so much worse.
Fair enough. We're 100 days to kickoff for the NFL season. There will be 5 first-round rookie quarterbacks getting ready to go 100 days from now, including that one, Trevor Lawrence. He was the number one overall pick. We're all well aware of him in Jacksonville. So he went 1. Zach Wilson went 2 to the Jets after a spectacular season at BYU, and the Jet fans are all excited to see what he is able to do. Trey Lance was perhaps the big surprise of round one, going number three to the 49ers. A lot of unknown there coming out of North Dakota State, having started just 17 games, but all the potential in the world. Skipping to the middle of the first round is Mac Jones, who's wearing the number 50 in Patriots camp. And it remains to be seen, as we were discussing earlier, exactly when he gets the ball in place of Cam Newton in New England. And that brings us to Justin Fields, who went 11. The Bears moved up to get him. In case you missed it earlier this week, or I should say late last week, Jay Cutler, former Bears quarterback, had this to say about when Fields should start.
I wouldn't play the kid to start. Like, okay. That's what I would. That's where I would start. I would let him watch, and you know, I think it's just a tough spot to put, you know, someone out there, especially in Chicago. And you know, I think Andy is more than serviceable. I think they can win games with Andy and kind of float the ship along until the kid's ready.
Isn't that interesting? So that's what Jay Cutler thinks. Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think?
I think Justin Fields should play from day one unless he doesn't understand the offense. There's such a massive gap in talent. And Greeny, if we go back a couple years ago, Mitch Trubisky in 2018 was third in total QBR because he could throw it and he can make plays with his feet, just like Justin Fields can. This is a good team. This is a playoff caliber team with representative quarterback play. And as long as he knows the offense, Justin Fields gives them a significant better chance to win. That's how big of a difference there is in talents between Fields and Andy Dalton.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective on it, because Dan Graziano, what are you hearing from Matt Nagy? Mike can think what he thinks, and Jay Cutler can think what he thinks. We can all think what we think, but there's only one person whose opinion matters. What's he thinking?
I think based on the conversations I've had, the Bears coaching staff is comfortable starting Dalton. They were comfortable starting Dalton before they knew they could get Justin Fields. The issue is Fields has to win the job, but they're not averse to the idea of Fields winning the job, but he has to do it in training camp. If he beats out Andy Dalton, looks to them like the better option, then I think he probably ends up starting week one. They won't just sit him just because he's a rookie. I mean, they didn't do the Patriots thing. He's wearing number one, right? Not 50. So they're not afraid of that. I think they're open to the possibility that he beats out Andy Dalton and wins the job, but he has to actually do that.
Now, Teddy, it's an interesting question, because sometimes I feel like when we analyze the Bears, we talk about them like they were a terrible team last year, like they were the Jaguars or the Jets. The Bears made the playoffs last year with well below average play at quarterback. So if they get good quarterback play, regardless of who it's from, what can this team do this year?
Yeah, it's Chicago, and Chicago wants more, though, Greeny. That's for damn sure. This is a city that desperately wants winning, you know. And I think you can expect maybe good quarterback play to give you a couple more wins. I mean, you've got a capable team there, so you get to 10-6 maybe. But is it with Andy Dalton? I don't know how comfortable why they should be so comfortable with Andy Dalton, based on he's also new in the system and Nagy's calling him basically a rookie in terms of learning. So I'm almost with Mike T here. I won't go all the way in terms of just play him from day one, but you got to give him every opportunity to win the job. And I don't not necessarily agree is telling a kid, yeah, just watch Andy. He's going to take it to start, and then, you know, do the best you can, and we'll evaluate you from there. I want the pressure on the kid. I want him to know that he can play week one if he can get the job done, make this a quarterback position because Justin Fields is that talented.
Teddy, it's interesting because you have to balance two things at the same time. You have to balance developing the quarterback for the future, which on some level might be the most important thing you can do for your franchise, with trying to win right now, and you take into account the somewhat tenuous job status of the coach and the general manager. Teddy, how does that impact all this?
Yeah, I mean, taking the sort of perspective of how you save your job, I mean, you want to show you can develop a young quarterback and show the progress over the course of the year, and you have the support of that first-round draft pick quarterback, and promise it, the promise is there, and you can see it. That's how you save your job if you do it with this kid. Andy Dalton, he can win you a couple games, but I believe he's maxed out in his career. This kid here comes in, Nagy, you show that you can work with him, and you're the reason why he's having success and the team's having success with Justin Fields. That's how you achieve the longevity in terms of staying in Chicago as the head coach.
Go ahead, Mike T.
Yeah, and as Teddy knows, more than Matt Nagy or anybody else, the players will know. And when they see Justin Fields out there, again, as long as he knows how to function in the offense, there's such a difference in their ability. The players will go to the head coach and say, we're not trying to wait the season out. We don't need him to be on the bench. Players want to win, and they're the great check and balance to a head coach and a GM. And when they're out there practicing, it won't even be close as long as he knows what's to do. So even if Coach Nagy's like, we're going to wait 3 to 6 games, I just don't think his locker room will allow that to happen.
And that's the big difference in these situations. Again, Jacksonville, the Jets, they have new coaches. They have nothing better to do right now, nothing more important to accomplish than developing their young quarterbacks. The Bears have other considerations and other concerns. We'll leave that there for the moment. Much more football as we go. But in case you missed it, there was huge news from France yesterday, from the French Open. Naomi Osaka has withdrawn from this year's Grand Slam after she was fined and threatened with harsher sanctions for skipping her mandatory media obligations. Osaka revealed that she has experienced depression and anxiety since winning her first major at the 2018 U.S. Open, explained that speaking to the media often makes her nervous. In a statement, she wrote in part, I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players, and my well-being is that I withdraw so that everyone can get back to focusing on the tennis going on in Paris. I never wanted to be a distraction. I accept that my timing was not ideal and my message could have been clearer. The legendary Chris Evert appeared to talk about this on Good Morning America today.
Most importantly, you know, I hope that Naomi's okay, and I think all the players do, and that she gets the support that she needs. I really respect Naomi for being a spokesperson, and she has been the darling of the media. The media have really built her up and have helped her brand. I think these press conferences are a responsibility to the players. And remember, these athletes are teenagers and in their early 20s, and they can't cope with what a 45, 50-year-old golfer can cope with. The press really have to have some compassion and some respect for the questions that they ask, because it's really putting a lot of the players off.
Very complicated matter from a lot of different perspectives. Naomi Osaka has been on quite the run since she won the Open in 2018, was her first major. Her 36 major match wins since then are second most by any woman, trailing only Serena, who's won 38 matches over that stretch of time. All right, we'll take a short timeout here. As we continue, Aaron Rodgers' personal issues with the Packers could be causing turmoil among some of his teammates. The dilemma inside Green Bay. Next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and our insider Dan Graziano is in our studio running the hurry up through some players who could be traded. Let's start with Nick Foles.
Yeah, this is a Chicago quarterback we didn't talk about in the last segment. He's still on the roster. He's available if someone wants a backup quarterback. Going to make $4 million this year. Won't cost the Bears very much in dead money to move him. He is a guy that probably generates some interest as we get closer to training camp and some teams' quarterback situations flesh themselves out or don't. Tight end Zach Ertz of the Eagles is almost certainly done in Philadelphia. To this point, they haven't moved him because they haven't felt like they've been offered fair compensation. They don't want to just give him away. But a team that needs a veteran tight end that can still be productive, he's been rumored a lot to Buffalo, would be a good fit there. Still a deal that could happen before training camp, before the start of the regular season. And this is one I feel like we've been talking about for a couple of months. Stephon Gilmore with the Patriots. There's a lot of different ways the Patriots' cornerback situation could shake out, but Gilmore's in the last year of his contract, and he's only making $7 million this year, which is not top cornerback money. If you acquire him, you probably have to give him a new deal, and that's one of the reasons he hasn't been moved yet, but that doesn't mean he can't be before the start of the season.
As a guy who was Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago, we are right now 100 days till the start of next year's regular season. So all those are fascinating to watch, but by far the biggest story of the NFL offseason, of course, is that man, A.A. Ron. Aaron Rodgers choosing not to attend Packers OTAs last week, as you well know. His standoff with the Packers front office seemingly has no end in sight. The 37-year-old quarterback, with 3 years remaining on his contract with the team, has made no secret of his desire to be moved, and they've made no secret of their lack of desire to move him. So right now, Dan Graziano, and no one is as plugged in on this situation as you are, what is the latest coming out of Green Bay?
Right now, the Packers are firm in their intention to hold on to Aaron Rodgers and try and get it fixed. The key thing, we talk about June 1st as a key date. The key dates here are June 8th, which is their mini camp that starts next week. It's mandatory. July 27th, which is the start of training camp. And September 12th, which is their first game. If he's still not there at any or all of those mileposts, then that's when the Packers can become convinced, hey, he's serious. He doesn't want to play for us anymore. Maybe we do have to look into trading him. But right now, they need to see proof of that before they decide to go ahead and make this move.
I want to make sure that we're clear on this. Are you telling me there is some uncertainty amongst the Packers front office about his resolve? Like, I think the whole world thinks he has dug in.
Right, but it's good business on the Packers' part to make sure that's true, right? I mean, you don't want to just take his word for it. Look, if he's really willing to sit out, then something has to happen to prove that to you, or else you're not going to make a decision that's going to completely alter the direction of your franchise. At some point, he may decide, you know what, I can put my personal feelings about the front office aside. I think this is the best chance to win a Super Bowl. I don't want to let my teammates down, et cetera, et cetera. So they have time for him to show them that he's serious.
And Teddy Bruschi is like, you don't see it at all, right, Teddy? That's a man with ironclad resolve.
Aaron Rodgers putting personal feelings aside.
It did sound very silly, happening. Didn't it?
No. It's just not happening.
You had fascinating perspective, Teddy, as we were talking this morning about the way other players on that team will view this, because it does feel like it's getting set to drag out a while and the toll that is going to take on the rest of that locker room.
Yes, it's... You're really conflicted inside the locker room, because deep down, the number one thing you want is this. You want Aaron Rodgers on your team. You want him to be the quarterback. You know you're a better team with him. You can win the Super Bowl. All of that. Do what you got to do to bring him back. But you also know Aaron, you know, and you know how this went down, and you know how he feels disrespected, and you know when a person like this feels disrespected, he's going to do something about it, and finally he is. He threw the monkey wrench in there, like he says. I mean, I won that MVP, and now it's like, you're going to look at these Instagram pictures of me on vacation, because right now it's about me, and I want out of that place, and that's how it is. So get him back however you can. But don't let it drag on. So that's what we're thinking in the locker room, because you get into September like Graz is talking about, and everyone's thinking about, you're looking at the door the entire time, like, is this the day? Is this the day Aaron comes back? And let's just say this, what if he does come back? What's his state of mind when he comes back? We're talking about the quarterback position here. The state of mind of your quarterback being not happy, disgruntled, getting a year out of the way. I mean, I don't know if you want that in your locker room conducive to winning championships.
And Mike Tannenbaum, you were telling us this morning, as one who was sat in that chair and made these decisions, this is going to drag on. You don't see any way in the world, as Dan was going through the mileposts, that this gets settled before September.
Yeah, and here's why. The bulk of the compensation, if Green Bay ever traded Aaron Rodgers, would be for draft choices. There could be a player or two thrown in there, but it's basically going to be for a lot of picks, which will be next April. So if you're Green Bay, if it's June 2nd, July 2nd, August 2nd, September 2nd, October 2nd, it really doesn't matter. So time is on your side for reasons Teddy and Dan talked about, which is if you're Green Bay, you want to be patient, see if you could try to bring him back. Now, I see things a little bit differently from Teddy, which is if he's there, he's a competitor. He'll want to win with his teammates. He can be mad at the front office. I understand. I've been there. But if you're Green Bay, you have to do everything within reason to get this worked out, because if he leaves and you don't win, it's over for you, and they know that. So that's why you have to take time. You have to be extremely patient, and hopefully you can wait him out well into, even if it's the month of September, remember, 17 games, if he misses two or three, it's still a long race.
Go ahead, Teddy.
Yeah, and we as players are going to respect upper management for doing that, Mike T, and it's just that, you know, we want you to do that. I mean, we start 0-2, 0-3, and it starts to drag on. The way Aaron Rodgers feels towards the front office is going to trickle down to all of us who are there. And what we're going to think is, you did this. You're the reason right. why we have all this. So either get him back or cut the cord.
Right. And my response to that is, yeah, we're 0-3, and I feel awful that we are. But the best chance for us to win is to get the reigning MVP back in this building. We've been to the Final Four the last 2 years. He's the best person on the planet to give us the best chance to win. So you go recruit him. We'll recruit him. But by far, he gives us the best chance to win this year.
It's like, hey, you know, I did. I tried, and it's just not happening. Get it through your head. Aaron's not coming back. Now what are we going to do about it? Because I got a relationship with him. Of course, okay, I'm a player. I want to get to him. All of this stuff we're talking, it's not happening. Let's move on. That's the conflict that you have in the locker room comparable to what Mike T's talking about upstairs.
That is what
seems Teddy, you're telling that to the wrong guy.
It seems to be on the horizon.
I was going to say, Brett Favre told us no.
Go ahead, Mike. Finish up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Teddy, Brett Favre told us no for 3 weeks. We made him a Jet. It didn't happen overnight. So I think that's part of being in the front office. That's being part of a dynamic head coach is you just got to keep looking for the answers because it doesn't happen overnight. But this is too big of a risk for them to move on.
And that's coming full circle because when Brett Favre became a Jet, who became the starting quarterback of the Packers? Oh, right. It was Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Let's leave that there for the moment. A lot more to do on this. But, Teddy, here we go. Here comes our first ever installment of our new segment called Teddy, Set, Go. And it begins with your old quarterback, your old buddy, Tom Brady. What are we thinking?
All right, Green, let's talk about things that I'm excited about watching this new 17-game schedule and if the Bucs can go back-to-back because the last team that did it was Tom Brady's Patriots, and Tom Brady can possibly do it with two different teams, but Devin White and that defense are going to be the stars. I think Devin White can be Defensive Player of the Year. That's how good this defense is. They will lead this team, especially early on. I can't wait to watch Devin White and the Buccaneers' defense go out there and defend their title.
All right, next?
The next thing I'm looking for here is in terms of the 17-game season, a lot of marks are going to go down. Rushing titles, passing titles, receiving marks. But 22.5 is the number I want to see if it can be beat. And I think Chase Young can be the guy to break Michael Strahan's record. This young pass rusher has the defense to support him. And I want to see Strahan's record go down, being done in that last week of the season by Chase Young. All right, man. The last thing I'm looking forward to is seeing my old team, the Patriots, because they basically won the offseason, and this doesn't happen very often in terms of all the signings. Bill knew that they were bad. Bill knew that he had to pay the price, and he did. He brought in everyone he possibly could to help. So, can Cam, can Mac Jones, when does he play? Can they make a playoff team out of all these pieces, something that Bill's never had to do before with all of these new pieces coming in the offseason? Can the Patriots make the playoffs?
That is Teddy Set Go with all the things that we are looking forward to seeing as the season gets underway. Again, we are 100 days away from the kickoff of the NFL season. Outstanding. All right, we'll take a quick break as we continue. It is arguably the most difficult accomplishment in the sport. Going unbeaten. How hard is it? Well, Teddy Bruschi knows. He'll tell you all about it coming up in a moment. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one is for Graziano. Here's the question. Who was the last quarterback to win 20 consecutive regular season games? That's the question. Graziano in studio with all the pressure on him to try and come up with the answer. It's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here we go. We're back on Get Up, and the pressure is all on Graziano, because that man, Sneaky Hembo, has posed this question. Who's the last quarterback to win 20 consecutive regular season games?
America is about to watch a man outthink himself, right? The obvious answer is going to be Tom Brady, because he had a 16-0 season, and you figure he must have won the last four the year before, et cetera. But I don't want to go with the obvious answer. So I'm thinking about guys that have gone 15-1, and I remember the year Cam Newton did it. He lost real late, so I'm going to guess that he had a winning streak the end of the year before. I'm going to guess Cam Newton.
That's a good guess, but it's not right. The answer
Aaron Rodgers.
Is Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. That's
Peyton Manning won 23 straight regular season games.
All right.
From 08 to 09.
That's
memory
good
serves. Was that the year they went on that crazy run at the end of the season, and then it went on into the next year? So, okay, this is getting close. Graziano's lead over Hembo is merely a safety as we speak. 23-21. We'll see where it goes. The reason we're talking about winning 20 straight games is because we're talking about the pursuit of perfection. We have not seen a lot of this in football history. You know about the 72 Dolphins, the only team ever with the unbeaten regular season to cap it off with a Super Bowl win. That team wound up going 17-0. The 2007 Patriots came awfully close. They won their first 18 games, then of course lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants. Is an undefeated season this year possible for anyone? Could it be the Chiefs? The challenge is even harder with the schedule expanding to 17 games. But Kansas City should be favored in most or all of them. So what does Patrick Mahomes think about the pursuit of perfection?
Are there any records that you have your eyes set on breaking?
Yeah, the only record that I have my eyes set on breaking, which would be, it'd be new this year, going 20-0.
Okay.
You know, it's not really a record to be broken, I guess you'd say, but I think 19-0 is the record right now. So being able to go 20-0, be the first one to do that, that'd be awesome.
Okay, so he said that, and the first thought I had was, please tell me I have Teddy Bruschi one day this week, and I do. So, Teddy, with my apologies, I have to come to you on this. When you hear Patrick Mahomes say, my goal is to go 20-0, what jumps into your mind?
Well, heartbreak, first of all. besides that, I love hearing it. I love hearing him do it, because I personally want to see if it can be done. I think that it can be done. We came close, but Patrick Mahomes is just expressing the way he feels. I like the team goal. It emphasizes the team winning every single game. I mean, this is something to where, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is that type of player that can get this done, in my opinion. I mean, Tom Brady, it's something that he would never say publicly, but it's the way he thought. It's the way we always thought about winning every single game. And now going 20-0 or 19-0 like it was a few years ago is, I mean, there's an amount of pressure that you are bringing upon yourself. And I think Patrick Mahomes can do that because, one, he has a Super Bowl in his back pocket. And sometimes players don't want to take this challenge on because they haven't won one yet. And what their thought process is, I just want one any possible way we can get it, as long as we get it. But you see, once you get the first, once you get the second, and Patrick Mahomes has come close multiple times, losing in the AFC Championship game, losing in the Super Bowl, of course, winning the Super Bowl. Now it's like, all right, how can I one-up the championship we have already won? And this is the thought process from champions that just want to do things that are impactful. And when you're on those teams and you get that far and you get to 14-0 and you get to 15-0 and you get to 16-0, I'll tell Patrick this. There's an amount of pressure that you don't understand, because at that point, you welcome it in, You're letting all the outside forces of saying they should or they shouldn't all welcome in, and you are actually having conversations with your organization and your head coach, making sure you're on the same page. Like, I remember being in captain's meetings with Bill Belichick and the other captains about, are we on the same page here that don't take us out? Because we want to win every single game. So you see all the extra added thoughts and thought processes that you have that you usually don't have when all you're worrying about is winning football games. But when you're worrying about winning every single one, it's just a different type of pressure that a lot of players don't understand.
To be clear, and it's such a fascinating story, you're telling me that when leading into that last regular season game that year against the Giants, you told Bill Belichick, don't take us out of this game?
I'd say after week 15, just to make sure we were on the same page about what we wanted to achieve, number of captains in there, myself, Brady, other players saying, Bill, this is something that's, you know, we know that you're a big fan of football history. We are also, and we want to be the ones that set this mark. So there's a lot of talk out there about whether we should rest or not. We do not want to rest. Don't take us out. Let us finish the job because we have enough in the tank to do this.
Remarkable. Mike Tannenbaum, as you hear all of this and you hear Patrick Mahomes saying it, what do you think?
I think it comes from a good place, but it's really misguided. And here's why. They rebuilt the entire offensive line. Hopefully, it will be as good as what it once was. As Teddy said, they've won, and they've obviously knocked on the door a few times. But don't look behind you. The LA Chargers are really closing the gap. So while he may be thinking 20-0, they have to go really work hard just to win this division. And I think Justin Herbert and the Chargers are really closing the gap. So I think it talks about selflessness and being a team player. But, boy, it's a long road to hoe to get to 17 games in the regular season. And for them to win the division is going to be a dogfight this year.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because we had Dan Orlovsky at some point talking about the Bucs going with a perfect season. Now we're talking about the Chiefs going a perfect season. Graziano, what do you think?
Well, obviously, it's incredibly unlikely. I mean, but I think there's an element of Patrick Mahomes that probably feels invincible. They won 8 games last year by less than a touchdown. They were 8-1 in those games, and they won another one in the playoffs. So he may feel like, hey, you know, these close games that everybody plays every week, we just win them. We find a way. And that may be the case. It was the case last year. But statistically, that performance does not repeat itself year to year.
All right. We will leave that here for the moment.
During a quest for the perfect season, it's not all going to be dominance. I mean, people look at the 2007 Patriots, the team that I was on, and think we beat everyone by 20, 30 points. There were multiple games down to the Dallas Cowboys in the fourth quarter, down to the Indianapolis Colts in the fourth quarter. Good players, good coaches, good fortune. You definitely need good fortune to make this happen. Even the 16-0 mark that we achieve all the way to 18-1, there were plays that if there were certain plays, if Bart Scott doesn't throw a flag or if Rex Ryan doesn't call a timeout, those type of things have to happen to keep on winning like that, and you need a little bit of good fortune. Absolutely, Gross.
All right, we'll leave that there for the moment. I would do much more on that in our second hour today, Teddy, so sit tight. But I want to run the bases quickly here because Buster is standing by. Big little moment in baseball here, which is a contradiction. In a game where Padres star Fernando Tatis Jr. would hit his 16th home run of the year, it was the Cubs' Javi Baez who stole the show. He had 2 home runs as the Cubs beat the Padres yesterday 7-2. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay has won 16 of its last 17 after beating the Yankees 3-1 behind the arm of Rich Hill, who capped off his month of May with a win and an ERA of .78, the third lowest ERA in a month for a pitcher 40 or older. And then finally, another spectacular performance from Jacob deGrom. He's just ridiculous. His first 10 pitches in a 6-2 victory over Arizona were all over 100 miles an hour. His ERA for the season right now is .71. Oh, by the way, he's also hitting .450. The Mets have won 5 straight. It goes without saying that he's the best pitcher in baseball. His ERA is the 6th lowest through May since that stat became official in 1913. It is the lowest through May and anybody since 1964. So let me bring Buster Olney into the conversation here, and I'll point out Buster was raised on a Vermont dairy farm, so every week we ask if you would bet the family farm. Buster, would you bet the family farm on Jacob deGrom to win National League MVP?
Greeny, I picked him to be the MVP before the season started, but no, I would not pick him. I still think it's wide open. Ronald Acuna Jr., Chris Bryant are in the conversation, But what we're seeing from Jacob DeGrom now is arguably the best pitcher the game has ever seen. Think about this. As a hitter, he's scored 4 runs this year, which is exactly the number of earned runs he's allowed in the first 2 months. He struck out 46% of the hitters he's faced, as his teammate Dom Smith told me. He's like a mythic figure among teammates.
Yeah, and what he is doing, he is. He's the best pitcher that you've ever seen. And by you, I mean you or me or anybody, at least for this period of time. Let's talk then about another team I mentioned there. The Yankees are really struggling. They've lost 4 in a row. They've scored 6 runs in those games. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned should we be?
9.5. Hit the panic button, no question about it. In part because of how well the Rays are playing and the Red Sox are playing, and the Yankees' offense stinks right now. Out of 30 teams in baseball, they rank 24th. And to echo faintly what Rick Pitino once said, Mickey Mantle ain't coming through the door. Derek Jeter ain't coming through the door. The Yankees need to find the solutions within their current lineup, Greeny.
Yeah, they're in trouble, and it's a really big week here as they're playing the Rays. And then the Red Sox and the division is starting to slip a little bit through their fingers as we turn our attention to the month of June. Buster, thank you as always. And then tomorrow night, we got a good one. I mentioned the Red Sox. They're in Houston taking on the Astros. Game 2 of a 4-game set at Minute Maid Park. And our coverage will begin at 8 Eastern. That's tomorrow here on ESPN. As we continue, now that we're in June, all eyes turn to Atlanta. Where will Julio Jones go? The very latest on the Falcons star receiver, who clearly is all but gone. We'll talk about that with Marcus Spears. The big swagoo is ready to go in our next hour. It's Get Up on ESPN.